Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. But please hold your calls until we ask for them, because we have with us on the line from back in Maine, one of my favorite guests, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who, of course, has been involved in this whole battle to expose what's happening here in America for many years, and certainly well aware of the spiritual component of the battle, which nobody wants to talk about. The various covert organizations which work behind the scenes, and I thought perhaps this afternoon we might talk about the Council on Foreign Relations and how this ties into this whole spiritual movement, or what I refer to as the Brotherhood of Darkness. Dr. Kaufman, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, glad to be back with you, Stan.
So as we see this thing unfolding, we see all sorts of problems here in America. We see certainly things going from bad to worse in the Middle East. We see certainly our government posturing, somehow attempting to justify what would appear to be at least the threat of an attack on Iran or Syria. And then, of course, we see the wide open borders here. We see the shortages of oil and the shortages of natural gas. We find, certainly the price of gold going up, the economy beginning to falter a little bit. What's happening in our world today?
What we're seeing, I think, is a destabilization. In fact, I've been convinced for over 10 years that the only way that the global elite, and we'll get into more of who those are in a moment, but the global elite, or the cartel, financial cartel, only way that they can actually bring everyone together is to destabilize different nations, much as the same as the Soviet Union did with nations as they begin to control them way back in the 50s and the 60s and so forth. And they're doing it monetarily, and they're doing it to us as well. We are going into a phase now where our debt is just incredible. Never has the debt-to-equity ratio in the United States been as high as it is right now. And when any little minor perturbation, call it Katrina or Rita or anything else, comes along, it throws a huge monkey wrench into our economy and causes people to become fearful. And you've already heard in the newspapers and so forth about nationalizing the National Guard in these disasters and so forth, and the federal government taking primary responsibility as response to these disasters rather than the local governments in the states. All of these are designed basically to shift more and more power first to the U.S. government and ultimately to a world government.
And I certainly agree with you. In fact, I think that they did everything they could to destabilize the situation in New Orleans so that they could justify sending in the guards. And, of course, you even had professional mercenaries who were brought in from Iraq, flown in. These are professional killers. They were brought in to patrol the streets of New Orleans, and where was the outcry? Where was the outcry across America when they began to collect the guns? Now, apparently, some judge said that they can't do that, but the government will do whatever they want to. They will ignore the findings of our judiciary, at least sometime in the future. I think they've backed away a little bit now, but I think what happened in New Orleans is an example of the government creating a problem, and then, of course, the government's solution, martial law, taking away all freedom. Did you have that thought at all?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the ineptness of FEMA. Now, realizing, we'll get back to this right after the break, but FEMA wasn't the primary cause of this.
Absolutely not. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. Well, our guest this afternoon is Dr. Michael Kaufman, and Dr. Kaufman has a ministry back in Maine, trying to educate people not only about what's happening as far as the environment is concerned, and how the enemies of freedom and the people who work within the Council on Foreign Relations and a myriad of secret and semi-secret organizations are using the issue of the environment to justify increasing the power of government over our lives. But certainly, we've just been talking a little bit about how what happened with the hurricanes was just simply another example of how the federal government could move right on in and say, oh, there's a problem. Why, we're going to violate all the laws, the posse comitatus laws, because we're from the government and we're here to help. So you pick up the story there, Dr. Kaufman.
Well, getting back to FEMA, FEMA's ineptitude really started with the total, almost criminal ineptitude of the mayor and the governor, mayor of New Orleans and the governor of Louisiana. The FEMA neglect probably wouldn't have shown so much if they would have been able to do what they were supposed to have done, but just totally abandoned that effort on their own part, totally exposing then FEMA. And what happened with FEMA, as I read much of the background information from the various strategic information sources and so forth, is that almost all of its budget, which is a lot of black budgets, it's not really controlled by Congress, a lot of that budget doesn't go into developing the strike teams and so forth to move in to be able to help people in these kinds of tragic situations, but has gone into other things like building underground bunkers and so forth for the elite, for going in and determining how they're going to control our economy through the banks. Basically, you don't know this. Maybe you probably told them, Stan, but FEMA in a national disaster can basically nationalize all our banking system, all private property, even put you to work doing certain things that they think you're necessary to do. They basically have absolutely and total control over this country, should the president so decree, in some sort of a national disaster.
And, of course, it can be either a natural disaster
or a created
disaster. This is the thing that really bothers me, is that they could create the problems on one hand and then, of course, use that problem to justify taking away our freedom on the other. We're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Michael Kaufman talking about America. Well, our guest this afternoon, Dr. Michael Kaufman. So we've certainly been talking about what we saw as far as the tragedy, certainly in New Orleans. And you know, certainly I agree with Dr. Kaufman. The mayor did everything wrong. The governor did everything wrong. I mean, certainly they declared an emergency on the 26th. The National Guard didn't move in until the 2nd. Who was going to be guarding all the homes that people had left? 400,000 people had left. Their homes were empty. The thugs were moving in. Gangs were moving in from Jackson, Mississippi, and from several other communities for the looting. And where was the National Guard? They were kept out of the city. I mean, what sort of madness is this? So pick up the story there.
Well, you know, it's a tragedy because the governor... Most people, and including the media, I don't think the media has ever shown its absolute and total ignorance of our constitutional law as much as they did in this Katrina disaster, because they were very basically parroting the mayor and the governor, basically calling holding Bush responsible for all the problems and so forth, when the Constitution and when all laws has been based on that Constitution calls for the local mayor and the governor as the first responders to those, both police. She should have called up the National Guard the very first thing, and because she basically has control of the National Guard. The president can't call up the National Guard. She has to call up the National Guard. And yet the media just parroted everything that the mayor and the governor basically said, that it was all Bush's fault, without knowing at all. And it's only coming out now. It's only 2 or 3 weeks after the fact that the major media, Fox News picked up on it right away, but the major media were reluctant, almost reticent, in making and pointing the finger back at the local government for not responding in the way they should have responded, because that was the law. They had no clue as to really what was should have happened and how it should have happened. And as a consequence, because they are so gullible, they're willing to print almost anything to try to destroy our Republican form of government. Now, the more ironic thing about it, I'm going to just take a moment to do a sideline here, Stan, and then we'll get back to the primary subject. But I am have been involved in the multi-million dollars worth of research in global climate change, so I'm very much aware of what is happening on the climate change issue. We've talked about it on your program numerous times before. What I want to make sure that you and the listening audience understand is all the rhetoric coming from the global warming theorists, that the Katrina and Rita and so forth, and the increased number of hurricanes and their intensities is due to man-caused global warming. It is not. I can say that emphatically. There is not one hurricane scientist in the United States that will make that claim. Not one. In fact, they're getting so sick of what these other side scientists and the media and other politicos are calling global warming causing these hurricanes, to the point where they're basically saying that they're unethical, they're immoral for making that connection, because there is no connection between the hurricanes and global warming.
Well, my goodness, Gloria Streisand said this the other night. It was all related to global warming, and that's why we had to sign the Kyoto Protocol. But as Jay Leno said, that they were waiting until they got another opinion from another Hollywood star before we made any of their national changes.
Another authority.
Another authority, right.
Yes, right. It is almost despicable what they're trying to do, and this is nothing more. Now, most of them are doing it out of the ignorance. You take the most actors and actresses, they don't have a clue as to what's going on other than what they're reading in their rags. And, of course, that's mostly propaganda. And as a consequence, they're just parroting the mainstream line that comes right out of the CFR and the Global Elite and so forth that we're talking about tonight, that global warming is responsible for everything. And as a consequence, what we're seeing from many sides now is the media, these politicos, the very illuminating actors and actresses and so forth, claiming it is global warming, they're basically saying exactly what they're being the mouthpiece of what the globalists want to do to continue this process of drawing more and more power to a centralized form of government.
And what another major thrust is, of course, to get the American people to lower their standard of living, to begin to conserve energy, to stop driving their cars, to stop, you know, turning on the electricity for air conditioning in the summer, to stop heating their homes in the winter. The president now is calling on government employees not to drive their cars as much. In fact, he in between plane flights between Washington D.C. and Texas and California on Air Force One, he was, of course, encouraging government employees not to be driving as much. Of course, you can imagine how much fuel Air Force One burns up as he sojourns around the country, flying over once again for his sixth trip to the South, flying from a helicopter to observe what's going on down there, to make the people feel comfortable that the government really cares. Now, I think there was so much difference between what happened in Mississippi and what happened in Louisiana. And in Mississippi, they had law and order. The National Guard was in there immediately.
Actually.
You know, the food was coming in. Of course, forget about the Red Cross, but the Salvation Army was there. The Southern Baptist Convention was providing food. There was tremendous spirit of cooperation, black and white, helping one another. Terrible devastation. I mean, people lost everything just like they did in Louisiana, but an entirely different attitude on the part of the people, both black and white. And they weren't looking for the government to help them. They were wondering how we're going to help ourselves and how we're going to rebuild, not how we're going to get $200 billion from the federal government to rebuild our society. Ladies and gentlemen, our government doesn't have $200 billion. That's just more in the national debt. One more nail in the coffin of the financial or fiscal stability of this nation and their intent upon destroying it. Otherwise, why would they be saying the federal government's got to rebuild New Orleans and make it bigger and better and badder than ever? Well, there is no authorization in our Constitution for the federal government to intervene and rebuild a nation that's destroyed by a hurricane or a community that's destroyed.
In fact, there have been national debates 100 years ago, 50 years ago on hurricanes and other natural disasters, and basically the conclusion was the federal government did not have any authority to step in and do anything. And what we're seeing now, of course, is that we have been so indoctrinated, this generation, you and I stand up in our senior years now, you and I remember back when these kinds of things were being discussed and there was no tolerance for them whatsoever by anyone, even the ones that were hurt in that particular situation. And now with the current generations below us, they have been so indoctrinated that they truly believe that the federal government should be the first responder. They truly believe that the federal government has a mandatory responsibility to go in there and rebuild New Orleans and so forth. And there is nothing in the Constitution. In fact, the Constitution actually specifically prohibits it.
And, of course, people have forgotten that any government that can provide whatever you need must be able to take whatever you have. And any government that can provide for you from the cradle to the grave has got to be able to control you from the cradle to the grave. And that's what fascism is all about, and that is what's being spawned in Washington, D.C. today.
Absolutely. With this government, government partnerships and so forth, I'm just horrified because we're literally creating a fascist state in the United States, parallel to what Germany did in the 1930s.
And of course, they already let out tens of billions of dollars of no-bid contracts down there in the New Orleans area.
Yeah.
How could you let out contracts that fast? Why, of course, Halliburton's getting them, and Bechtel, and Fluor. The same people are getting the contracts over there in Iraq. The same people are getting the contracts in third world nations. And the more we lend them, the more impoverished the third world countries become. And the more our federal government spends here, the more impoverished we will become.
That's very true. That's the other side of this whole equation, is that there is this partnership with the government and private industry. And it creates an unholy triangle. If you look at our trinity, if you want to call it that, you look at government, industry, and non-governmental organizations. Even the government, because the government is now 99% of bureaucrats. There's very few elected people compared to the total number of people hired by the government. And you have basically all points of this unholy trinity that is not accountable to the people, doing all they can to advance their own personal agendas to make their empires bigger at the expense of the people.
And, of course, we know what's happened over in Iraq, where, of course, you have all these no-bid contracts. $8 billion disappeared. Nobody has any idea where it went to when Paul Bremer was there. But he says, don't blame me. I mean, I was just the administrator. $1 billion, another $1 billion has disappeared that we gave to the Iraqis for their military and their police force. And how much is going to disappear, of the $200 billion that's going to be given out? How much of it is going to disappear to these people who are getting no-bid contracts? How do you determine what something's worth if there's no bidding for it? And why the great hurry to rush in and give away all this money, which, of course, belongs to unborn generations?
Exactly, and what we're seeing, of course, is that we're burdening future generations, really not even the future generations. It's going to start really coming down hard on us within a few years.
Well, there's no incidents in all history where a nation has done what we've done, and the rest of the world has continued to finance their debt. America today is totally dependent on foreign central banks to fund our massive deficits. We're spending 6% more than we're actually producing. And, of course, you remember that old adage, he who pays the piper calls the tune. And we will become totally subservient to the foreign central banks that, of course, unite together in what I refer to as the Brotherhood of Darkness. And perhaps we can talk a little bit more about that when we get back here with Dr. Michael Kaufman. And I think it's so vitally important that people understand, if you look and see what's going on, a lot of it doesn't make sense. Well, it only doesn't make sense if you don't understand that there really are dark and sinister spiritual forces out there directing the course of what's taking place.
help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, Ode to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
Journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
The last 3 years, gold and silver have been quietly attracting the attention of the smart money investor. And that's with no small wonder when you consider that in those last 3 years, gold has risen over 50% and silver has nearly doubled. So, are you in profit yet? You might think so if you bought gold or silver coins in the last 3 years. And true enough, some coins have increased by as much as 70%. So how do you know how much your portfolio has gained or lost? With a quick call to the asset management professionals at Colonial Resources. 1-800-685-4042. Colonial Resources will give you current market quotes on your gold or silver bullion and collector coins. If you're ready to sell, Colonial pays higher prices for your coins than almost anyone in the industry. And if you doubt that, call the company that sold them to you and ask what they'd buy them for, and then call us. To find out where you stand in the rapidly changing precious metals market, call Colonial Resources today, toll free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Michael Kaufman, and we're talking about what government is doing, and this rapid expansion of government over our lives, and this is not happening by accident. There is a plan. There are people who have a different worldview, an elite, who are dedicated to the destruction of America's sovereignty. That's why they won't seal our borders. They really want to unite the United States with all of the northern hemisphere here. And they really want to destroy Christianity and implant a new religion. And these people work behind the scenes. They are the ruling class. They work through many organizations. But why don't you pick up that thought, Dr. Kaufman, because I know you've been studying this for many years.
Well, I think it's important for us to recognize that there is a global agenda. There are a group of global elite we call the financial cartel, or there's any number of names, that basically have the intention of ruling the world. And they're very close to doing that right now. And it started back with Cecil Rhodes in the 19th century when he basically decided that he wanted to create, and I'll read what William Stead, well, you don't know who he is yet, but he basically said that Mr. Rhodes was the founder of a dynasty. He aspired to be the creator of one of those vast, semi-religious, quasi-political associations which, like the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, have played so large a role in the history of the world. To be more accurate, he wished to found an order as the instrument of the will of a dynasty. And he basically, and it's all in print. I mean, this stuff is not like you're trying to dig and read between the lines. It's spelled out. And one of the books that really spells it, I think, the most is Tragedy and Hope by Carol Quigley. He just goes into, it's just like reading James Bond a novel, page after page of this historian's 1,300-page history of the modern world from the 1800s through 1950 when he wrote it. It's the most astonishing thing that you could possibly read. He actually said that he had access to all of these records and so forth for a period of a couple of years, and an inside track. He knew all of these. He actually agreed with them, and from the records that he was able, given by this group of people, was able to put together this book that showed exactly step by step how, they had done it. And it was very intentional.
In fact, we even have an interview with Professor Quigley where he tells how somebody bought up the Macmillan, the publisher, and destroyed the place of the first half of the book so it couldn't be reprinted, how his book was suppressed. And here was a professor at Georgetown University who later would become, of course, the mentor for William Jefferson Clinton.
That's right. And Quigley basically really, really did a yeoman's job in explaining exactly how this all came together. And it started with Cecil Rhodes. Well, actually started with the Rothschild dynasty, who funded Cecil Rhodes to get started, and he discovered the gold and the diamonds and so forth in South Africa and became, quote, the richest man in the world. I doubt that that was quite the case, but nonetheless, he became one of the wealthiest men in the world. And he aspired, basically, and he says this, why should we not form a secret society but with one objective, the furtherance of the British Empire for the bringing of the entire uncivilized world under British rule, for the recovery of the United States, and for making the Anglo-Saxon race by one empire. And basically, that's what they have accomplished right now. What we're seeing is not an empire ruled by guns, but an empire ruled by the economy or finances. There is not anything that happens in this world that does not go through this group of very, very influential people. They basically control the monetary supply of the world because they control the world banks, the national banks, or the central banks, I guess I should say, of each nation. And as a result, they basically control, and this is what Carol Quigley says, they control the governments of these nations.
And, of course, they also control the media, and that's the reason why nobody ever talks about this. They fund the major universities, and, of course, by funding them, they can be sure that no professor is going to speak out, because if he does, he's out of a job. And,
right.
And I've seen this time and time again, where young people, idealistic people, will speak out and write books about the Council on Foreign Relations, and then when they become the department chairman, as one of them told me, I really don't remember anything I wrote in all of those books right here in Santa Cruz. So it's amazing how short memories are when you've been well rewarded for your betrayal of your principles. We're going to be back in just a moment or two with Dr. Michael Kaufman as we explore this idea that there really is an invisible government. There are people working behind the scenes who hate America, who hate individual freedom, who believe in a ruling elite, a ruling aristocracy. And, of course, many of them are members of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Club of Rome, the OTO, Skull and Bones, Bohemian Grove, and many more of these covert organizations.
Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. It's very difficult for the average person to accept this could really be true. And after it was true, why wouldn't Rush Limbaugh tell us, or wouldn't Sean Hannity tell us, or wouldn't the other commentators on television tell us the truth? Wouldn't 60 Minutes reveal this, or 2020, or... And the truth of the matter is, no. Because if they were to tell you the truth, they would be out of a job like tomorrow. And this is the truth of the matter. This is the way the situation is. Oh, you've got Lou Dobbs who talks about immigration, but of course they let one person talk about it, and then everybody else says it's not a problem. But believe me, if he was really getting out and telling you the sort of things we're telling you today, he would be out of a job tomorrow. So, Dr. Kaufman, you pick up the story from there.
It is a tragedy to see how the media basically has been so co-opted into this effort. You have most of your news media today actually owned by one or more of the principal people within this global elite. And they then make sure that the editorial board of their newspapers or their television station or whatever print or only broadcast certain aspects or certain slant of the news. Now, on that side, you have all of these new reporters graduating from their journalistic schools that have been totally indoctrinated in socialistic thinking. I mean, the brainwashing that goes on in these colleges is just nothing short of amazing. And as a consequence, they don't really have to tell the reporters what they can print and what they can't print, because they've been so indoctrinated that they will only print a certain way. And when you try to bring in another point of view, they look at you like you're from planet Mars. What are you talking about? That's not reality. That can't be done, and so forth, because Their way of thinking is totally and absolutely socialistic. When you have the time, and I've done this on a couple of occasions, it takes a long time, so you can't do it very often. And the person has to be willing, they have to be open, and they can begin to see how it all fits together. They go into a state of shock, literally. Their whole world is shaken. And if they try to print anything, it happens just as you described it, Stan. It's immediately turned by the down by the editor, and if he tries to do it again on some other subject, then they're kind of warned that they're not, those kinds of articles are not appreciated, and if they continue it, they're out of a job.
Amen to that. And until people understand that there are five mega corporations that dominate the American media, Bertelsmann, Disney, Viacom, Fox, and Time Warner, and there's a wonderful book we carry called The New Media Monopoly, written by a professor up in Berkeley who's been studying this for, 32 years now. Let's see, since 1983, that would be, over 20 years. The New Media Monopoly, it's available through Radio Liberty. Before we go on, Michael, why don't you go ahead and get out your website and help people get in touch with you and get your information?
It's our website is discerningtoday.org, spelled just like it sounds. You have to look it up in the dictionary, probably, but it's discerningtoday.org. You can reach us at 1-800-799-9878, and we have a number of products, videos, pamphlets, and other things that are available. And if you are just now understanding, we're not talking about that tonight, but we have a brand new program. It's on, actually on the web, called takingliberty.us, takingliberty.us. If you have a high-speed modem, it's all multimedia. So dial-up is usually not fast enough. You can watch it, but it's pretty jerky. If you have high-speed Internet, it is a phenomenal presentation that I did over about a nine-month period, putting together what they've been doing with the Wildlands program. Unbeknownst to most people, including your county commissioners, city councilmen, and so forth, literally putting together the Wildlands Project without any authority to do so whatsoever.
And, of course, they're using the threat of environmental degradation, and we're going to hurt the little butterfly, and we're going to hurt the little mouse, and the snail, oh, my goodness, the Zianti humpback slug that we had here in Santa Cruz was used to stop the development of a dam that would, of course, provided adequate water for our area for 75 years. The Zianti humpback slug, of course, didn't exist. That didn't matter. That was used to stop the development of the Zianti Dam. They do this all across America. They're even tearing out dams all across America.
Which takes us right back to New Orleans.
Right.
And the devastation that they suffered in New Orleans when 30 years ago the Army Corps of Engineers wanted to put in some dams to keep the hurricane surges from flowing into Lake Pontchartrain and thus into New Orleans. And the several environmental organizations filed a lawsuit and prevented them from doing it. And lo and behold, it was just a matter of time before we had a force 5 hurricane hit that area. And just like the new Army Corps of Engineers said would happen, it flooded New Orleans.
And, of course, it's so interesting. There have been a couple of articles in the Wall Street Journal about that. And the environmentalists are saying, why did you blame us for it? I mean, you could have taken those cases to court and fought them, and then if you'd won them, why, you could have gone ahead and done it.
Yeah, right.
What does it take, 30 years to fight them? But, of course, what you have to understand is the great environmental organizations, Sierra Club, Greenpeace, these are all funded by the tax-exempt foundations, the Rockefeller, Ford, Carnegie, by our own government, by our great corporations, by our great oil companies. Why? Because they use the environmental organizations to block the development of refineries here in the United States so they can create shortages, to block the drilling for oil and natural gas so they can create artificial shortages. And then they say, look at those artificial shortages. Gee, we're going to have to raise the price. And they say, well, we're not. The oil companies say, we're not making any profits. They got more money this last year than they've made in the last decade.
I mean, it's amazing,
and the American phenomenal. People don't understand how they create the problem, and then, of course, the tremendous profits. But it's the environmentalists that did it.
What never ceases to amaze me, we have one of the stupidest populations, intelligent populations, that I've ever seen. I mean, it's not that the American people are not intelligent. They're very intelligent. But they have been so dumbed down in our educational system that they have no capacity for independent critical thinking. And it's amazing. I sat there and watched it with my mouth open back in 2000 in California with the energy crisis, and you had rolling brownouts going on for two summers there, and no one brought out the real reason that that happened. Yeah, we brought out the Enrons and so forth that took advantage of it, which was, I mean, we needed to do that. But the real cause was the fact that no new capacity was built since 1980, and who was responsible for that? Was the Sierra Club.
But of course it's funded, these are all funded by our government, these are funded by the corporations, and you know the most incredible thing about the electricity crisis, they sold it to the people of the state of California saying, we have got to, you know, we've got to do away with the monopolies here, we've got to do away with public utilities, we've got to bring in competition. When we have competition, we're going to bring the price down. They knew that you can't have competition when you have monopolies. The whole thing wasn't going to work from the very beginning. And, of course, it was just destined to raise the prices. They wanted to get the prices up, but if they told the people, we want to deregulate electricity so we can raise the prices, everybody would have said, that's crazy. So they said, we're going to lower the prices by deregulation, and look what happened.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it was so obvious, and yet not... I think there was one or two media outlets that tumbled onto it, and they were so small that they never had an impact. And the rest of the media just went right along with it, giving all of this propaganda and so forth about how that we need to expand our capacity and have this independent, you know, the deregulation and all the rest. It was amazing. It was an art. It was an art form that needs to be studied for the next 30 or 40 years to see how they did it.
How you could deceive an entire population. In fact, there wasn't one dissenting vote in the state legislature, Democrat or Republican, against the deregulation of electricity, where, of course, obviously it was going to lead to increased prices, but everybody believed the lie. Oh, this is how we're going to bring prices down. We're going to bring in competition within the monopoly.
Well, it's still happening today. One of the broadcasts on NBC that I saw last week gave about 10 minutes to some environmental fanatic down in Louisiana that basically said this would never happen if we had destroyed all the wetlands. You know, it's, I just cannot believe it. It's just one of those things where, now, realizing that New Orleans, in many cases, the moral armpit of the world, and that there's not too much sadness on my part that some parts of New Orleans were destroyed.
But unfortunately, they didn't destroy the most evil part, that's the French Quarter.
Yeah, and that's what just blows me away, that somehow survived. But nonetheless, the damage was done, and we're again pointing fingers at the federal government and everything else and totally ignoring the basic real problem. You're not going to stop hurricanes. They're going to happen. So the best thing is that you have to adapt to them, and that means you have to plan for Force 5, Category 5 hurricanes. And every time they tried to do that over the last 20 years, the environmentalists stopped them. Who is responsible? The environmentalists. Who is motivating this? The big foundations. Who's behind them? The international cartel.
And it's about time that people saw how things really run. They're not interested in the environment. They're using the environment to justify laws that are going to make our lives much more complicated and eventually bring about the loss of all freedom. But, you know, it doesn't matter how ridiculous something is. If you say it often enough, people will believe. We're going to deregulate electricity and lower prices. We're going to bring in competition. You know, or, you know, don't blame us environmentalists just because, you know, we blocked the building of the levees. That was their fault. I mean, they could have been persistent. You try to fight the environmentalists, they will buck you forever. They stopped the development of nuclear energy in this country so that we had, of course, then to begin having our electric generating plants using natural gas, and the price of natural gas has tripled, and that's exactly, actually almost quadrupled, that's exactly what they wanted. That's what it was all about.
That's what it's all about.
And until the people understand that they are being manipulated and the whole purpose is to impoverish the American people and lowering our living standards, people aren't going to understand what's really going on.
You know, and that's something else Carol Quigley said back in the 1950s when he wrote Tragedy and Hope, that these people literally have done more damage to civilization than any other group or any other historical feature in the last 200-300 years. I can't remember the exact words that he used, but they have caused more suffering and more human degradation than any other effort on either natural or man-caused on the last 200 or 300 years. It's amazing. And yet we continue to support the same old, same old.
Well, our job is to try to get the American people to understand that behind all of these organizations we talk about are spiritual forces. You write about that very well. Why don't you just discuss a little of that? And maybe Helena Petrovna Blavatsky and some of these other people who worship a different God.
Yeah, you really do have to understand. If you do not understand the religious side of this or the spiritual side of this, you will never succeed in really understanding what their next step is and so forth. The real battle is in the spiritual realm, as it often is. What we're seeing is the physical manifestations of a spiritual battle that's going on in the heavens, as it were. And what has brought it about is the occult that you have gone into, I think, very well in your Brotherhood of Darkness book. If you haven't got that book, by the way, it's very easy to read, and Stan has done a marvelous job in exposing what they have done in a very short period of time. It's a very easy read book. So I would strongly recommend that you get it. The key here is that it's been going now for 200 years, starting with Madame Helena Blavatsky, originally in India, then in England. And a spinoff from her in the United States was, I'm drawing a blank.
Well, of course, here in the United States, we have the Theosophical Society.
And
then, of course, we had the Masons, and we had Aleister Crowley. They were sort of all working together.
Alice Bailey is the one I was
talking about. Alice Bailey was, of course, her disciple.
She originally named her publishing company Lucifer Trust because she sees Lucifer as the savior of the earth, the shining star, as it were. And, of course, that didn't go over very well in the early 1900s, and as a result, she changed it to Lucas Trust, and you can still find it on the Internet. I read some of their stuff, and it looks like you're on planet Mars talking about something that just is not real at all, and yet they solidly believe in this. And some of the greatest leaders of our time are involved in this kind of occult activity. It's just astonishing. The Rockefellers, many of I'm trying to think of some of the names.
Well, because we could, Gorbachev is involved with this, Maurice Strong is involved in this, Stephen Rockefeller, and the three of them wrote the Earth Charter, which is the new Ten Commandments, which is kept in the Ark of the Hope, and of course, it all ties into the programs of the Lucius Trust, used to be the Lucifer Publishing House.
Yeah, it's amazing. It all ties in, and you'll find that this occult activity is very, very prevalent within this global cartel. They have their secret meetings, dark meetings, and so forth. And this is what's driving them to do what they're doing. Because they believe, not all of them do, a lot of them are just in it for the money and the power and so forth, but they believe, for the most part, that the world needs to be controlled, that all the problems can only be solved if they're under total control of this elite group.
And the fact that I have a speech that was given by James Wolfensohn, formerly the head of the World Bank, and it was at David Rockefeller's 90th birthday, and Wolfensohn was talking about how wonderful it was that we had this wonderful organization, the Council on Foreign Relations, because somebody has to rule the world, and where would we be if the people in this room, he was referring to the people in the CFR, weren't running the world? They're so open about it. If you want to see the pages, we'll be glad to send them to you. The speech was given at David Rockefeller's 90th birthday. Remember, both of his daughters are dedicated Marxists and supporters of Fidel Castro.
Yep.
If you want to verify that, I get David Rockefeller's memoirs. Get it, read it, and ask, why would this man, one of the richest men in the world, why would his daughters be Marxist and supporters of Fidel Castro, and maybe nothing as it really appears to be. Maybe that's why we are keeping Fidel Castro in power today. And when people try to escape from Cuba, and they're in a raft, or they risk their lives, or they're in a little inner tube, why our Coast Guard comes along, picks them up, takes them back to Cuba, where they'll be tortured and imprisoned. Why would we be doing that? Why would Bill Clinton and his Attorney General Janet Reno have sent a 125 man SWAT squad with automatic weapons to kidnap Elian Gonzalez and send him back to Cuba to build up the prestige of Fidel Castro? Why would they have done that?
Yeah.
Doesn't really make sense unless you understand Nothing as it appears to be. We got
one of the greatest debacles that I have seen, amongst many of them, is the whole thing with Osama bin Laden. If you understand their mindset, you understand their occult nature and their deception and what's happening, you can begin to predict reasonably well what's going to happen. You're not a prophet or anything. You just know because you can think like them and you know what they're going to do. Back in 1999, I wrote several articles in a newsletter I had at the time that we were going to have a major terrorist attack in the United States. It wasn't a matter if, it was a matter of when. And it happened, of course, in September of 2001. And I said after that, Osama bin Laden would be blamed for it, but they would never capture him or never kill him.
Maybe.
Why? Because they still needed a scapegoat out there to justify increasing control over our lives and so forth. Because as long as he's out there, he represents a threat.
Amen to that. God bless you. That's so important for people to understand. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics. An untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the World War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Cal-Ben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Cal-Ben Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Cal-Ben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Cal-Ben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Cal-Ben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and it should be pretty obvious to anybody that we're not trying to catch Osama bin Laden. After all, if we caught Osama bin Laden, how would we justify continuing this war on terrorism? And he's not living in Pakistan. He's living over in Iran. You get Congressman Kurt Weldon's latest book. It's available, you know, and of course he's the man who's bringing out all this information on the Able Danger unit of the military that knew all about Muhammad Atta, and this Islamic terrorist cell long before September 11th. But, of course, you're not going to read about that in the local newspaper. Osama bin Laden's a very ill man. He needs dialysis. He's living in a quiet little town over in Iran. and our government knows exactly where he is, and we have no intention of trying to get him. So when you understand that, nothing is as it appears to be. To understand all about Bechtel and Halliburton and Fluor and the other major corporations, you need to get a book we carry called Confessions of an Economic Hitman. A man who is part of a secret little group he called the Corporatocracy, made up of the CIA and the intelligence organizations and the corporations and the government and the banking industry, and their purpose was to rape the third world countries, and that's why every time why we set out to help them, the people, they get poorer and poorer. We have a four-tape set, Economic Hitman. We have the book. You really want to get them both. And then, of course, we do carry the book, The New Media Monopoly by Professor Ben Bechdakian, who's been studying the control of the medium since 1983. That's what, almost 22 years. And then, of course, we have the book, Tragedy and Hope, written by Professor Quigley, suppressed for many years. It's available now. 1,342 pages. If you read that book, why, you'll know more than most history professors. And then, of course, we have a great new DVD. It's called Planned Population Reduction. And if you can stand to hear me talk for 2.5 hours, and of course we have a lot of other things and charts and other material and the documentation for everything we say, you'll understand the media control. You'll understand that there is a plan to kill off large parts of the world's population. That's the Planned Population Reduction. So, and then, of course, we were talking about the phony energy crisis back in 2000. So we put together a four-tape set at that time and a video on the electricity crisis and a syllabus. And the whole idea of deregulating electricity was so they could raise the price, but they couldn't tell the American people that. The reason to go over to the Middle East is to promote World War III. And of course, out of the World War III will come the loss of all freedom and the impoverishment of our people, those who remain when World War III ends. Understand what's going on. Nothing is it as it appears to be, because behind everything going on are dark and sinister spiritual forces. And let me mention my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Dr. Kaufman was very kind to praise it. I think it's an important book. You can get it by itself or as part of a special Brotherhood of Darkness unit, a Brotherhood of Darkness special with a book, the video, and the audio tape for $29.95. Remember, we do provide the Berkey products, and if you get either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light to us, you'll get a free video or four-tape set that we have actually produced, not something we have to get some from somebody else, but if we produce it, why, we'll give that to you right along with the product. And then don't forget, we're having our all-day conference on the 19th of November out at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And if you want to come in from elsewhere, we'll tell you how to get here. We'll send you a map and suggest where you stay. And lunch is going to be served. It should be a great program. This is a beautiful place to visit at that time of year. So, again, that's the 19th of November, the all-day annual Radio Liberty Conference. And, then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and, of course, for our ministers, but please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection, because we're on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle for the men's souls and the survival of Western civilization. So until tomorrow, when we'll be back with you once again, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.